In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
In a world where very few people embrace their global identity and seek to understand their neighbors, cross-cultural expert Tayo Roxon is on a mission to bridge this divide. Each week, he'll open your mind with insights from some of the global minds in the world. Get ready, take some notes, and learn how to be the best you that you can be.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today's guest is Stephen Garten. Now, every year, 31% of all credit card holders don't redeem their credit card reward points. That's $16 billion per year in value. What if those dollars could be unleashed for social causes? That's exactly what Stephen Garten and his company Charity Charge does. When Stephen was 19 years old, his father passed away from cancer. His father was 53 years old when he passed away. Life is short, he realized. Many of you also know that I realized that life is short story. I always share that a lot. But now at the age of 31, Stephen sees a generational shift towards purpose and meaning. How do we live a meaningful life? How do we find fulfillment in what we do? He observed that many people wait until late in life before they give back. With a sense of urgency, Stephen says it made an impression on him that he wanted to start doing this early. And now he's trying to integrate his work life with his philanthropic goals. And we're going to learn all about that today. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Hi, happy to be here. Thanks so much for having me on. And I got to say, I've been on a few other podcasts, none as prestigious as yours, but that's absolutely the best preface and understanding of, you know, my background and what we're doing. So hats off to you. Really appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much. That's really high praise. I think it's really important that we do as much as we can to give back to the world. So someone like yourself who's doing that is definitely always welcome on the show. So I really appreciate that. I'm really curious though. So why did you call it Charity Charge, and what is the story of Charity Charge?
Okay. Let me answer your question first on just the raw branding side. Do you want me to
Yes.
Can I give a little lesson on my cliff notes about how to name a company?
Yes, please. Yes.
Right there. Yeah. So, I mean, this is also, I guess, kind of goes back to some lessons about just entrepreneurship. You know, I had a whole host of different companies, rather names that I was going to call the company. Originally I incorporated it as Austin Card Inc. because my original vision the company's based and I live now in Austin, Texas. So it's going to be this Austin branded charity credit card. So incorporated the company's Austin Card Inc. And that's what I called it as I was, you know, piecing together the business model and figuring out how do you actually launch a credit card. And somewhere along those lines, I realized that there was more scale, you know, beyond outside of Austin. So I had, you know, I think I called it Virtue Card at one point, and then I was calling it Share. But, I kind of realized that we were really trying to build hopefully an everlasting brand that really was meaningful. And to do that, I actually reached out to a group called Reese & Reese. And so a woman named Laura Reese and her father, Al Reese, did it pro bono. And they actually helped us come up with the name Charity Charge. I flew to Atlanta. And as I'm kind of telling the story, I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent here, but I was originally trying to raise angel money for the company. which is, kind of the normal process that you would do to raise, a seed round of capital to launch your company or idea. And this would have been in the December of 2014. And we were really close. I'd actually signed a term sheet with an angel investor in the Austin area. But even at the time, something just didn't sit right with this guy, but I thought we really needed the money. And, I was kind of conflicted and he was willing to invest. But at any rate, I have so much respect for this process and just how it unfolded. He ended up backing out and we had a whole big, we did not see eye to eye. So we had no investor, we had no money, but I'd already had this meeting set up with the Reeses in Atlanta. They're top naming and branding consultants. And, I had to reach out to them and tell them that we couldn't come because we didn't have any money. And they said, you know what? We're happy to do it for free. We believe in what you're doing. So we flew out there and they helped us. They helped us name the company. And I think that if I can go a little bit further here, just the concept behind Charity Charge was this is it's about defining the category. And obviously this space is about, using a credit card for good. It's cash back that gives back. And so it was really important for us that we focused on defining the category with the name, because this really is the first ever credit card that allows you to give your cash back to any charity of your choice.
That's incredible. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. I didn't realize that until I came across, your story. And, we just swipe our credit cards. We realize, we didn't use up all the rewards. But so I guess for me, I'm just curious about why this was what you wanted to do, because it's very painful. And once again, sorry for your loss when you lose a family member like that. But you had this incredible sense of urgency, and one that many people don't realize until it's too late. And your idea was something that gravitated towards social good. What about, how did this idea with credit cards and social good really come in your head and take seed?
Yeah, I mean, really, the epiphany came, I think one intention really matters in life. So, whether you're focused on, I want to get really fit, or I want to start a company, or, I want to create, a beautiful romantic relationship. I think initially having that intention kind of allows you to kind of be more in a search mode and then attracting these things. So at any rate, again, the experience of my father definitely put me down this path of trying to figure out a company that would be able to give back. I had done entrepreneurship related things, but fast forward, to this specific moment, I had signed up for this credit card and I was using it throughout the year. And I remembered even when I signed up, I remember like all the bonus offers and all the kind of the marketing language. It was as if, the way the bank was marketing it, as if this credit card was going to change my life and be this like the most amazing thing ever. As you look at how credit cards are marketed today, and they've got big time celebrities hawking them, everyone from Samuel Jackson to Jennifer Garner to Tina Fey. So at any rate, I've been using this credit card all year. End of the year, I thought to myself, well, wow, I must have been accumulating all these bonus points. Let me log in and see what I'm going to redeem it for and what am I going to get. So sitting there, I'm scrolling through the bank's rewards catalog and probably 45 minutes pass and I'm sitting there agonizing over, well, do I want to redeem these 25,000 points for an Olive Garden gift card, or would I rather get the Samsonite briefcase? Maybe I want the pair of binoculars. So I'm just having this moment of like really trying to figure out what I want to redeem these points. And then, another moment of clarity hit me where this was so ridiculous. I had been raised, and we're all raised, all is a strong word, but many of us are raised in early childhood when we're taught to share, and we're taught, this message that giving is better than receiving. But, yeah. Fast forward as you grow up, through your adult life, all the marketing messages that are pushed on us by these huge banks and all these consumer brands is more, 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 buy, 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 retail therapy, in order to be happy, you have to get more, you have to earn more. But what about giving more? And so I had this moment where I just was like, I've been using this card all year. I've been fortunate enough to be able to buy groceries, pay for gas, and all the things that I needed that the credit card was letting me buy. So why should I be getting more every time I'm buying? So in that moment of just frustration and kind of realizing it, I logged off. And the next thing I did, I checked my email, and a local nonprofit in Austin that I had been supporting send me an end of year fundraising drive email. And that's when it really just, the dots connected. I thought, you know, I've been using this credit card all year. I'm lucky enough, I'm fortunate enough that I have enough. I don't want anything to do with these points, but yet there's this organization that I dearly care about. So what if every time I use my credit card, I could just donate to that organization? That really was, you know, the epiphany that then led me on this journey to figure out how to piece the whole thing together.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's amazing. That's incredible. And I like hearing stories like that, because a lot of times we have people who listen to the show who talk about, you know, when their epiphany is going to come, when their ideas is going to come. And a lot of times it's really just from noticing a simple problem that you want to solve and then, you know, turning that into a business. And you had that, you know, when you had those moments with the credit card incident, and then you're like, this is, what are we doing? And look at what you've done. So it's pretty, I love when you do that, because other people can realize that they can locate themselves inside your story. So thanks for doing that. Another thing. Yeah, no. Oh, sorry. Did you want to say something else? I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, no, I was gonna say happy to. I mean, you know, I think that that's where the passion for me kind of burns through this, is the personal connection. Obviously, you started the podcast talking about how large the industry is. You know, that 31% of people don't redeem the rewards at all, and the $16 billion. But you know, the epiphany or the sparkle that kept driving me was that personal experience.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And speaking of, you know, experience in our generation, you know, and, you know, purpose and all that, our generation is, you say that there is a consciousness shift with our generation. This is the millennial generation, and I imagine the same for even a generation coming after us, Gen Z. Why do you feel like there's a consciousness shift?
Well, one, it's a bold statement, and I certainly hope that I'm right, but I want to put something audacious out there and then bet on that, because I'd much rather prefer that we have a consciousness shift than not have one. I think obviously you can look at events happening around the world in the macro sense, and then you can look at, you know, people in our communities, starting public benefit corporations. You started this podcast because, you know, to do many other things, but one of them you shared with me, we were talking before jumping on here, was that, you know, you wanted to be able to inspire and share these stories. And I really do think that's happening around us. You can just look at all the interesting companies and business models that are coming out. And then you also see, you know, large corporations that are figuring out ways to instill corporate social responsibility, or create give back programs, or percent of proceeds that go back to nonprofits. So I do believe that this consciousness shift is real. You know, I think that I was thinking about this a lot. I was taking a long walk yesterday and was thinking about, you know, at the end of the day, what's the big vision? What is it something that I hope to educate people with? And part of it's just how to be more mindful with your purchases. I think that we've succumbed as consumers for too long to a cacophony of too big to fail banks that have pushed down these messages of, they purposely want to keep us on a treadmill of buy, 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 and get more, 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 more. And I hope that I'm able to at least start the conversation of people to take a, you know, a real hard look. Or on the flip side of that, even take 3 seconds the next time someone listening to this goes to buy a cup of coffee and think about what that purchase could actually do to make a difference versus getting you, you know, one more extra point that you might not even use.
No, it's I don't know. I can't, you know, emphasize that enough. And that's, I don't think you're going too much on a bold statement to say that we are a conscious generation. I think if you look at the world right now, I mean, just the reality of the world is there's a lot going on, you know, regardless of wherever your beliefs lie, who you follow. The fact is there's a lot of, you know, healing that needs to be done. And with that comes a lot of need for us to understand each other. You know, we live in the most diverse period ever. We also happen to have the most globalized and digitalized time ever. And that means that interactions with people that are different from us and exposure to things that are happening in different parts of the world is something that's going to just be a reality. Now, how we deal with that is where our generation really can either drop the ball or set the standard. And I think us being able to turn all those problems into solutions or to create platforms for people to do something about that with their money is where we need to start going. And I don't subscribe to the notion that, you know, a leader of a country can determine the fate of every single person in it. You know, because I grew up in a military dictatorship. That was my first 9 years of my life. And wow. And I remember, you know, thinking to myself, man, I there's so much killing going on. All these people are dying for free will, you know, for just basically saying things that they should be able to say. And I remember that initial period where I was like, man, this is crazy, this is helpless. And we eventually got through that, but I saw people like Nelson Mandela, who spent 27 years in jail to fight for his ideal. And I think having those type of role models, you know, and Oprah and people like that, can give us a reason for us to just do the same. I mean, we take for granted the fact that we have free speech here in this country, and we can turn that speech into influencing leaders in our communities. And once we have those leaders in the communities, those are people that end up being the leaders of the country. So we have to think long term as well. So, I didn't mean to go on that rant, but it was something that's been in my mind a lot lately. We just had the unfortunate incident in Las Vegas, and all the natural disasters that have been happening here and in Sierra Leone and everywhere else. So there's that sense of urgency is definitely, you know, in me. So I love.
I'm glad you shared it. No, as you did, and you bring up Las Vegas, which is just like just sickening. I heard about it the other day as I was driving in on listening on the radio. That was my first just exposure to what had happened. I was just sick in my stomach. I think that something that you said in there is true, that, I mean, it's good to have the role models and see what other people are doing, of course. I mean, something that I say a lot, which is true about just how I learned how to piece together this company and then just also where I'm going, just big picture with my life. You know, everything happens, progress happens by standing on the shoulders of other giants, right? So it's important that, you know, other people are laying a foundation that we continue to build upon. But I think the biggest thing, even when you talk about these events that are happening around us that seem terrible, and they are terrible, is, you know, it's better to be glass half full than glass half empty.
Yep.
And then that's what I think this is about. You know, part of what we're talking about, this consciousness shift is, and I talked about intention, you know, as well when I started the business, and in any area of your life that you want to succeed in, you first have to think, it starts with that thought.
Yeah.
So I think that intention of optimism is one of the most powerful things that anyone listening to this can have.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the easiest thing in the world is to fear, to hate, to go to those negative feelings. It's harder to push through that and still hope and still be positive. And I think we need to get through that. We need to learn how to do that because even though it's hard, it's way more rewarding. You know, we can't lose sight of the fact that there's a glass half full, there's another side, there's the other side of the coin, and, you know, we just have to do the difficult thing. And I think a lot of us are programmed to do what's easy to us, not to work through pain, not to deal with, emotional stresses, but we have to, you know, we have to be vulnerable, we have to express our feelings, and we have to be able to go through the wilderness, as Brené Brown would say. So, I share your sentiment with that.
It's awesome. I love it.
Man, all right. So, how do people get your credit card? Because I saw on your website there's an apply now, right? So you basically, I think you select a nonprofit that you proceed your credit card application will go through, and then you select, up to three nonprofits, and then if you get approved, you know, your rewards go to them. Is that how it's done?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can just sign up for a card on charitycharge.com. It's a world class MasterCard, so it can be used anywhere around the world. I was actually just down on a trip with some folks from Whole Planet Foundation, which is a nonprofit that we've gotten to know really well. We were down in Belize, and I was using my card down there. So it was the first time I was using it outside of the country, and it just like opened my mind to, you know, again, how large this world of credit cards and debit cards and all that stuff is. But at any rate, yep. It's a credit card, so you can use it, you know, wherever MasterCard is accepted around the world. There's no annual fee. We also underwrite the donation processing fees, so there's no cost to you as a cardholder and no cost to your nonprofit. You know, I think the twist about our business model, the real kind of game changer in this industry, is that every time someone makes a purchase, they earn 1% cash back that automatically goes to the nonprofits of their choice, the nonprofits that they've selected. So our credit card has no breakage, which is what, when you get those 31% of people using their cards that are not doing anything with the reward points, it's because there's all these schemes that they would have to do to log in, to hit certain thresholds to get the value of their points. With ours, that 1% automatically goes to the nonprofits. And then last, for the cardholders, it's tax deductible. So, you know, our kind of vision, Taya, with this is, you know, we believe that everyone with a heart should add charity charge to their wallet. They don't have to replace, you know, they might benefit from miles. They might benefit from some cash back. But, you know, even if it's just 10% of the time, you know, when you're paying for gas or you're paying for groceries, if you use charity charge, you're able to give back. And that's really what it's all about. This is not our all or nothing, you know, proposition. It's really, you know, it's not me, and it's not me calling people out. It's me calling people in to be a part of this community of everyday giving.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's great. And how long has the company been around?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We launched the credit card in June of 2016. So, you know, 15, 16 months now. It had been a handful of years, you know, prior to that when I originally had the idea. And it was quite a journey for me to piece together the partnerships with our credit card issuing bank, which is Commerce Bank, and then also MasterCard. And on top of that, we had to build a whole, you know, platform to track and route people's, you know, cash back to the nonprofits of their choice.
Yeah, that's good. And some of the featured nonprofits do you have, you know, I see you have Whole Planet and a bunch of others. Do you A Pencil of Promise, Charity Water, which is Charity Charge, Charity Water. I don't know if you guys have had a talk about that shared name with charity. Feeding America. So, you know, you've got a few big ones here who are actually doing great great things. I was just listening to the CEO of Charity Water. I've seen him live and I've heard a few of his stuff, and he's the real deal. But so these are great organizations that are doing great things in the world. Did you think about adding some of those causes that are affected by natural disasters? Just curious, just because I guess a lot of there's a lot of need right now, you know, in Puerto Rico and other areas.
Yeah, so we do have some of those featured causes on there to make the sign up process simpler for people that, you know, maybe just want to do good but don't know exactly where they would like to donate their cash back to. But the bigger picture, I guess, preceding that is you can search. And yeah, we have literally every single nonprofit, you know, large and small in the United States, including K-12 schools and religious organizations. So, you know, a big part of the element of the vision that I had for this company was allowing people to give back to whatever was in their heart, you know, and I think that that's something that we don't want to dictate per se, you know, where people should push it. You know, we've been pushing out different content on both Hurricane Harvey, for Hurricane Irma. We also sent out a notice to all of our cardholders to allow them to opt in for the month to automatically donate their redirect their cash back to American Red Cross. And we have a future blog post coming out about you know, everything that's happening down in Puerto Rico.
I was just curious because I was looking at your directory and you have such a great way to basically group them. You've got Save the Planet, Women's Empowerment, Protect Animals, Support Music, End Hunger, Protect Children. And that makes it so easy. So I was when I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, maybe there's something there about the relief. But the fact that you have a search function, I think, you know, that's so great that you get to allow people to choose who they want to support and who they want to let their money go to. So that's amazing.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that.
No problem. Let's talk about your entrepreneurship background. You know, something that you enjoy doing is branding, is building, is creating. What about entrepreneurship is something that you love? Because you could easily have gotten a consultant gig. You had a six-figure job, stay there till you were 65, and then, you know, retired.
I mean, I think just building and creating, I've always been a hyper-creative person as a kid. So, you know, for me, and this is kind of like the weird thing, and, you know, I've actually just recently gotten into meditating and trying to be a bit more mindful of my thoughts and everything. And, you know, I think something that's I've become hyper aware of, maybe even only in the past 2 months, like really tuned into, is especially with entrepreneurship, is that I don't say this in like a pompous way. I mean, I really mean it in a proud way, but everything that I'm doing now can be traced back to, you know, you can think of a decision tree. Like there was enough fortitude that I had and getting past enough rejection and also having enough help from my parents and friends and other people that supported me along the way to launch the company. But even this conversation that we're having right now, Tayo, and having the opportunity to be on your podcast, and then for anyone listening, it's so interesting how our life, you know, is dictated by decisions we make. And so for me, like, that's kind of the exciting thing. I mean, the mission behind Charity Charge, the vision, like the day to day of that, I really enjoy that process. But then just thinking about how, like, for anyone on here who's might not even, you know, directly start a business, we're all entrepreneurs. I mean, we're all creators of our life. And I think that, you know, what's really cool for me is just to be even more aware of all the decisions that I'm making in my life and how those are going to have implications.
Yeah. No, that's well said. And you graduated from Washington University in St. Louis, and then you went to Austin, Texas, right? And then, because I think you had a role in the Austin Technology Incubator.
You know me too well. Yeah.
Hey, man. I do research. I do research.
I love it.
The reason why I was bringing that up, though, is like, was that it wasn't a good fit, because I want you to share that story of that where you realize, yes, you want to do entrepreneurship, but, you know, this isn't something I want to do. And then you stepped out of that, because that moment where you leave a job after, you know, 7 months, you know, I've quit a job before, you leave a job after 7 months and then you go into this abyss of entrepreneurship. That's what a lot of people, a lot of listeners, they email me and they say that they're scared of that moment where they know they shouldn't be in a job, but they are afraid of not having security. You did that. So I'm just curious about that mindset.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think I'll talk about it. I think the only security is betting on yourself. You see how companies come and go. You see how companies can have board leadership. You see how top level, you know, executives can be caught in scandals and bring the whole house down. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, the biggest person you need to bet on is yourself. I do want to just set the record straight for part of that story. So I moved to Austin. I was 23. I came down here really because I wanted to. For me, it was important to first settle on the place and the environment and the geography and the people. And I had this just unwavering belief that if I was happy in the place, you know, Austin and many other cities would have enough of an economy that I could figure out where I wanted to be, you know, entrepreneurially or business wise. But at any rate, originally, after knocking on a lot of doors, I knew no one in Austin, and it was during the financial kind of downfall, the financial crisis, so that the job market was quite terrible, especially for someone pretty much fresh out of college. But after knocking on a bunch of doors for a handful of months, I got hired as an unpaid intern to work at the Austin Technology Incubator, which is a part of University of Texas. And this would have been the summer of 2010. So I started there in June of 2010. And, you know, basically they helped do consulting for early stage technology companies. It was originally started in 1989. And it was just such an unbelievable experience where it was really my first real, I'd had summer jobs and part-time jobs. It was my first real, you know, full, even though it was an internship, it was just, I took it very seriously and, you know, was there full time for that summer. And it was so fascinating to be exposed to all these different entrepreneurs and hear about their business models and help them kind of identify, you know, growth opportunities and doing a handful of different projects. And then also reviewing a lot of the companies that would apply in and kind of be that first round of due diligence for entrepreneurs that were applying to get into the incubator. They ended up starting to pay me in the fall, and they paid me hourly $13.63 an hour, which was quite humbling because I had had a lot of friends from high school now that had gone through college or friends of mine that I had met in college that were working at investment banks and bragging about making six figures and all of this stuff. But I just really enjoyed the people, and I had fortunately enough perspective and my mom's advice too that, you know, it wasn't about the amount of money that I made at the age of 23 or 24. It was really about just the experience, especially if I enjoyed it. So to just connect the dots and close the loop on this story, so there I was making $13.63. And one of the organizations that we had a partnership with, you know, I got to know them, they got to know me. And you know, one day they said, they made me an offer. So they doubled what I was getting paid, or more than doubled. They offered me $27 and a quarter an hour. Okay. And they offered to, you know, pay for my health insurance. So I'm like, this is incredible. I'm going to double mine. I'm going to go there. And, you know, at the end of the day, the kind of the job description that I had signed on and what I thought I was signing up for, it just ended up being a complete 180. So it wasn't a fault of, you know, the leadership over there. You know, I could point through whatever, that doesn't matter. But, you know, I remember 2 months into that job, I was got super depressed, was super unhappy, but was really afraid to leave because of security. I was afraid of letting people down that were on their board that, you know, I looked up to as mentors and stuff like that. And I ended up sticking around an additional 5 months. So I guess it was a total of 7 months. And it was just hellacious. I mean, I remember being, you know, 25, 26, and waking up every day and just being super depressed and thinking, you know, this is going to be the next 25 or 35 years of my life. It finally all got to a breaking point. And I had a conversation with my mom, and, you know, I shared with her my, you know, deep desires to do something entrepreneurial. And, she gave me that kind of final stroke of encouragement. I went in the next day, I put in my 2 weeks. I think I ended up giving them maybe 3 weeks, and I helped find a replacement as well. I wanted to, you know, leave on good terms. But that was that. But it's so funny because for anyone listening, and I think back to that now, you know, I was really pegging like happiness to this concept of going from $13.63 to then getting $27 and a quarter an hour. And, I was unbelievably happy when I was making the $13.63 and unbelievably unhappy when I was making the 27 and a quarter. And, I've had a bunch of moments where I've had to try to remind myself of that as I now operate this company. And I think any company, in their first, you know, couple years as you're getting going, you know, naturally is going to have different challenges, or even companies that are further along that, you know, like a, I'm just using this as a random example, but like a Snapchat. I mean, they just went public, but now they've got, you know, at this stage of their company, they've got challenges. But I really try to bring myself back to not letting my happiness be cheap and not letting my happiness correlate to dollars, because I fortunately learned at a fairly early age that that does not go too well.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's really key to listen to yourself. A lot of times you have the answer to everything. And you know, you can't let outside influences influence what it is that you need to do with your internal compass. So, that's why I wanted to share that story, because you're doing an amazing thing with Charity Charge. You're doing something in the industry that not a lot of people do. You figured out a way to basically, you know, do what a lot of people do with, you know, with department stores cards, airline miles, and you've turned that into a force for good. You know, it's no annual fee. It's tax deductible. And it's something that really everyone can do with a swipe of a card. But the journey there sometimes is something that we miss. And I love you sharing that story of realization from, you know, the unfortunate incident with your dad. And then you saying, you know what? 7 months, man. I can't do this. You know, 7 months versus the rest of my life, I've got to be able to do myself justice by being the best version of myself. And look at where you are now. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
It's very kind of you. No, I mean, I'm humbled when you say things like that. I really appreciate it. And I think it is all about kind of some core principles and lessons. So for anyone listening, what you pointed out there, you know, I think is always going to be true, and it's cliche, but it's a cliche because it is true. And that's to listen to yourself and be true and honest to yourself and not let, you know, the influence of others, as hard as that may be, not dictate, you know, what you're doing. It is your life. Regardless of what you believe in about, you know, afterlife and what's after this, what is 100% known is that you've got this life. So try to make the most of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and do you have any final words for people listening, you know, in terms of how they can reach you or organizations you want to partner with and, you know, thoughts you want to leave them with on their entrepreneurship journey?
I would just say, if people want to get in touch with me, I'm happy to share. They can email me. It's Stephen with a PH. So Stephen@charitycharge.com. You know, our website is charitycharge.com. I'm on Twitter @StephenGarton. And, you know, happy to keep continuing this dialogue and this discussion, because as much as, you know, this is my business and I want to build it to be my legacy, you know, it only happens with cardholders and people that, you know, believe in this fundamental belief that giving is better than receiving. So I really appreciate this opportunity, Tayo.
Yeah, thank you. No, thank you so much. This has been, you know, I love interviews like this just because it's very conversational, right?
Yep.
And it's really a great reminder of what it is that we can do as humans. And, you know, we keep talking about our generation and when we can take leadership. And I think the leadership model currently is broken. I think it's time for people like us and people that are in a network to just really decide, hey, we're going to start doing our own thing and we're going to start making an impact. And, you know, by doing that, we create a community of people who are, you know, conscious, who are ready to help develop sustainable goals and are ready to inspire the youth to do the same. And by then, I feel like we'll be able to really influence the next set of global leaders. So hopefully we do that.
I love it. We will.
All right. Well, where can people find you as Charity Charge? I know you said the Twitter and all that, but is it charitycharge.com?
Yeah, the business is charitycharge.com. And then across all social media channels, we're just @charitycharge.
Okay, @charitycharge. I'll make sure I put all that in the show notes. But the last question I like to ask all my guests before they leave is my mission statement, which is use your difference to make a difference. So how, Stephen, are you using your difference to make a difference?
Well, look, my personal mission now and the mission at our company is more profits for nonprofits. So I think I'm taking the lessons that I learned to create this business model to, you know, help redirect at scale what's going to be billions of dollars back to charity.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I got to say, I haven't seen anyone do what you're doing. I'm sure maybe someone's thought of it and someone might be doing it on a small scale, but I love the scale to which you're doing it and making a difference at the swipe of a card. That's incredible. So thank you so much for spending time with us. I know you're incredibly busy, and thank you for, you know, blessing us with your story. I think it's one of purpose and also a great reminder of the power we all have within us.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it. You're the man. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Pleasure's mine. Ladies and gentlemen, till next time, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hold up. when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.